to clearly evaluate and understand whether or not it has reached or will ever reach a critical mass that could sustain itself. That we have preliminary feedback from co-chairs that this is acceptable. They want a little more additional information. Staff is not adverse to that solution. We've had precedent for this before with a number of different programs and a number of different offices where it's needed some seed money. Now, this won't pay back all of the general fund that we funded, but it's because we provided $200,000 when it was started in 03, another $350,000 in the 05-07 biennium, but it reaches, it'll get us to that point where we could get the return and it will could be self-sustaining.
Well, thank you. Senator Baker. Thank you. Dallas, thanks for a good explanation. I want to give a few kudos out though on this thing first. This is the part of the program the state supports for ballot measure, I believe it was 44, the bulk purchasing that we just got passed and people have worked and voted for very heavily. There was a huge miscommunication between staff and DAS and the people running the program, which is not staff's problem. It's from some other source.
The staff.
No, it's not your problem. It's a problem of a lack of communication. The actual outreach for this program is done through a group called SHEBA, which is a statewide thing that people have probably heard about. What these people do is answer the phone and get people lined up. They have to manage 500 pharmacies. They have to coordinate with Washington State on bulk purchasing, and they have to take phone calls from individuals and get them to the right person. You got two people for doing that. They get 29 cents per each prescription. Most people getting these prescriptions are saving $30 to $40 to $50 per prescription. They're glad to pay the 29 cents to get that kind of a savings they wouldn't get otherwise. This program is just getting off the ground. It should be, from everything we're looking at, it should be easily self-sustaining and, frankly, then some within the next 18 months to 24 months. Mr. Lindsey Ball brought this forward to me as a possible solution. He's used it in other agencies. You give someone seed money, you expect them to pay it back. They do pay it back and allows them to do things they couldn't do otherwise. And I want to give him full credit for it, this solution. I appreciate this very much. He stepped up and helped us out when something was going to be potentially putting us in some risk. If you don't have enough people there, we're talking about 2.5 people, by the way, here. If you don't have those people there, the program could falter because those lines aren't getting answered, those pharmacies aren't being taken care of, you're not getting your work done with Washington State. If those things don't happen, you know, 44 could be in trouble, and I don't want to be talking to an Oregonian reporter that, the state legislator gutted the program after the people passed it. And I appreciate your position on this. I think as long as the program is as successful as we expect it will be, there won't be a problem. The other thing I like about this is those people answering those phones know that if this program isn't successful and it doesn't reach critical mass, they're going to lose a job. It's a pretty good incentive for taking care of business, and I think they'll go ahead and do it. So, Mr. Chair, I appreciate your patience on this. I appreciate your patience for me not being here yesterday. You know where I was and whose car I was in. Okay. So I do appreciate that, and I appreciate LFO's done, and you, Dallas, but especially Mr. Ball, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the work you did in working this out for us. Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I can just pile on the good doctor. I think citizen expectations are very high, and I would add that this is almost a credibility in government kind of efficiency. I've had people call and believing that as soon as the ballot measure passed, there would be a very expeditious pathway to getting lower-cost drugs. That hasn't occurred. I think there's a certain pent-up frustration. When I tried to do the case management on my constituent call, that was when I realized that there are only two people doing this. And I wish to have my opinion allied with that of Dr. Bates in saying that I think this is a rather elegant solution. The incentive to make the program work is high, and I just want to pile on in saying I think this is an elegant solution, and we're going to get bang for the buck for it.
Thank you. Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just have a clarification question. When you talked about the 29 cents and most people are happy to pay it, is this just built into their cost of prescriptions, or is it, or do they actually realize that they're paying this?
My understanding is it's built into the cost of prescription. I can find out for you. But, I mean, if you ask the average person, you're going to save $50 a prescription. It's going to cost you 29 cents. Most people go for it.
I don't think they see it explicitly.
I think it's actually paid through the pharmacy. And you need to get a certain amount for your prescription filled. And I could be wrong. I can find out for you.
Doctor, I could say that I'd be delighted to pay 29 cents.
I would do.
Yes. Okay. I'd like to comment on this and thank Senator Bates for his work. He did pigeonhole me as soon as he read the LFO recommendation and very emphatically said that I'll be a no vote on this, which alerted the chair to the possibility that we had a problem. with that, then I appreciate his Director Ball's contacting Senator Bates, and I appreciate that he was on the phone to me saying that we thought we had a solution and explained it, and the director then was up in my office, had been in the office, and we were in concurrence with that. The only thing was that we needed to run this by the co-chairs, and I appreciate the co-chairs' willingness to have a little flexibility on this issue. So all in all, it probably is a good illustration if we try to work some things out together that it is possible to do it even in this building sort of thing. So to all people, I think I'm very appreciative of the efforts they've put in. And I believe I'm taking it for granted at this point that we have agreement on this portion of the task budget.
For no vote on this.
And we will have some kind of a recommendation coming out as to how this will be. Are we going to have a table amendment on this from the department, or how is it best to proceed with it?
Oh, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as it stands, once we get the approval with the co-chairs, I think we will probably have to have a budget note or something in the budget report, which the co-chairs will have to approve, that will outline this agreement, if you will, the repayment. But it wouldn't take an amendment because this amount is in the budget.
Okay.
For this plot, so this would not be a change. We have some others that we'll have to finalize as you move through them, but this wouldn't require a change. You're just saying, okay, now the staff recommendation is and change,
yes,
pending approval by the co-chairs.
Thank you. I think we've had that discussion. I don't think it'll be a problem.
Okay. Wanted to proceed on here then, and I think maybe an appropriate discussion, since I think there may be some relationships here, might be to I was going to say we might want to go to the that navigator portion of the.
Do that now.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
If we would.
Sure. Remember the recommendation on the navigator was not to approve it. There was discussion yesterday about what would it take for planning. And yesterday afternoon, the director and his staff, I know, came around to the members and delivered a packet. So we didn't pass them out at your table again. But it was a proposal to for planning for this Navigator project, they would need two positions, a principal exec manager D and an administrative specialist position, and then services and supplies for a total budget request for the 07-09 biennium of $287,167. This, strictly to continue planning, right now there is state agencies pay assessment and assessment for some GIS activity within the department. That administrator is let's say stretched thin and needs the additional resources for the sufficient to if you wish to move this forward, at least with some sound planning. So these are the resources that the department has identified as would be needed to move forward to flesh out the plan. And if you're asking staff's take on it, it's a lot better than $5 million and not knowing what we get. So the staff is supportive here. There has been, if I may, Mr. Chair, others circulating the building with a request for about $500,000 of this $5 million. I believe that's a little premature because it would be part and parcel. Let's see how the plan rolls out first. And so we are not as supportive of that ephemeral type of push or request.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, just as we reached a collaborative agreement on another knotty problem yesterday, I had been less mindful than I should have been of the fact that Navigator involves a lot of partnerships and the management of those partnerships, and I just want to make sure that we have the opportunity to fully appreciate not only the work that Director Ball has done in bringing forward what he needs with respect to planning in his shop, but also the partnerships that are helping to develop the Navigator and the beneficial outcomes of those partnerships. And I would like to try to make the $500,000 partnership request less ephemeral by asking the chair's indulgence to hear from an expert in part of the development of Oregon Navigator and the benefit that will flow from the work that's being done by OSU. And I don't know whether or not you would be amenable to hearing from Ms. Ackerman, but I know her to be possessed of some information that might instruct our conversation.
Yes, before, however, doing that, the chair would like to note that this was a fairly significant budget item, and as far as this committee is concerned, it's a general fund item that we're dealing with, we don't have a lot of general fund items to deal with, so when the co-chairs tell me they want to whack away at general funds, and there's some reasons provided by LFO, the chair is somewhat inclined to be sympathetic with those, and some, really... irritation, I guess, is probably the best way to put it, about visiting this item at this particular point. I would like to have had it when we were going through the budget. We might have saved ourselves some time. And, Senator Johnson, I don't need any...
I was going to grovel.
No, you don't need to do that. I don't, want that. I just... would like to have Ms. Ackerman come up and explain that, and if she can convince other folks of the merit of her position, we'll go from there with it. If she can't, then I guess we'll stay on the given path where we're at. So with that, if you would, please, Gail.
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, members of the committee, I do want to apologize for not having briefed you and your staff more thoroughly on the web portal portion of the Oregon Navigator project earlier. Frankly, when it was in the governor's budget, I was tracking with the Department of Administrative Services staff and was not aware of the Legislative Fiscal Office concerns until late last week. and scheduled a meeting with Representative Jensen at that time for this morning, and much to my surprise found out yesterday that you'd had your work session on this item yesterday instead of today, which left us behind the eight ball. So my apologies. I don't like to do business that way. My name is Gail Achterman. I am the director of the Institute for Natural Resources at Oregon State University. The Institute was founded by the legislature in 2001 and directed to create an integrated natural resource information system for the state. State Representative Susan Morgan was a real champion and the major proponent of the creation of the Institute and the need for an integrated natural resource information system. Because the legislature had not appropriated any funds to support the Institute, discretionary funds at Oregon State University were used to start it up and employ me as the director. And discretionary funds, the startup package provided by the university, as well as gifts, the monies that had been given to the Oregon State University libraries, have really been used to develop the Oregon Explorer, which is a web portal that provides an integrated natural resource information system. The fact is that, as indicated by the State of the Environment report in 2000, frankly, we're drowning in data. And as your staff noted, and as the business plan for the Navigator notes, there are dozens and more, probably hundreds, of geographic information systems that federal, state, and local governments have invested in, that are difficult, if not impossible, for citizens to access because most of them require specialized software that most common ordinary people don't have on their computers, and even if they had it on their computers, they probably couldn't use it. So what we've been working on for the last 3 years is to develop a way to access the geographic information systems and databases using a web portal that anybody's home computer software can access. And we are very pleased, because part of our mandate is to work in partnership with state agencies, to be working with the GIS Utility Group at the Department of Administrative Services, and they elected that instead of developing their own web portal for the GIS utilities, that they would use the Oregon Explorer as the web portal, thus avoiding creating another door to the information. They have already invested, for example, in the high-resolution aerial imagery of the state, which, if you're a tech geek in a federal or state agency or local government, you can get using your specialized software. And we're in the process right now of making that imagery data for the entire state available to anyone who wants it on the Oregon Explorer portal. I can understand the concerns that your staff has expressed about the magnitude of the problem. I fully support the Department of Administrative Services approach of really focusing over the next 2 years on building partnerships with local government and other state agencies, although I think they're well on their way already, and working on the data standards so that you actually can put all the pieces of geographic information systems together. But I do believe that funding the Oregon Explorer package at $250,000 a year for the next biennium will allow the public, local government, state agencies, federal government to get access to the existing data that's already been developed by the Department of Administrative Services and other state agencies, so that you can actually build the partnership relationships by having the people that you want as your partners be able to see what an integrated GIS utility can actually do. It's kind of like Google. You know, it used to be 10 years ago, nobody knew what Google was. And then people started using it. And the more people started using it, the more people could see the advantages of it. And it became much more robust because more people were willing to invest in it. If you just do 2 years of more planning without actually being able to have something that's readily identifiable and accessible to show what you can do with the existing geographic information sets that already exist, you're going to not take advantage, you're not going to have the necessary underpinnings to move the partnership building forward in a way that not only serves state agencies and local governments, but actually serves citizens who can get at the information that they need. So I would urge you to include beyond the basic elements that the Department of Administrative Services shared with you yesterday afternoon, to also include the $500,000, $250,000 a year that would be passed through from the Department of Administrative Services to allow the continued development of the Oregon Explorer as a portal for not only the geographic-related information, but the other essential underpinning data sets that we're trying to build to make this huge amount of data that we have actually provide information to inform citizens and decision-making throughout the state.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate you accommodating Ms. Ackerman's testimony. When this process at OSU was first explained to me, it had a utility that extended beyond just interesting data amalgamated in a single place. The way that it was described to me, and I would ask Ms. Ackerman for correction if I've misunderstood this, is that theoretically someone who is standing at the land use development counter in Sherman County can draw up information about the coast or about other places in Oregon and see meets and bounds, wetland delineations, can have instantly available all sorts of data about real property on the ground. The point that I'm trying to make, and is that correct?
That is correct.
The point that I'm trying to make here is that I think that this is more than just data management, that there's an economic development element to this. And what I'm leading towards is to see if we could craft another equally elegant solution that gets this committee out of the general fund hole that I feel we all have our shovels out and are working on trying to get to the bottom of, and trying to see if there's maybe a mechanism to accommodate the ongoing work of the Institute for Natural Resources to get us where we need to go within the context of the work that DAS is doing, to keep the momentum that Ms. Ackerman and her shop have. And what I'm struggling with is whether or not there is another portal through any of the work that's happening at Oregon Economic and Community Development, whether or not there's a possibility to look to the OSU Foundation for match, and that we would provide some money and they would match it out of their foundation, which has a huge corpus. I'm just flailing to try to find a way out of a $500,000 general fund hole, and hopefully inviting Ms. Ackerman's response to any of that.
Well, let me thank you, Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson. I'm probably not the best person to be addressing all of those issues. Let me put forth from the OSU Foundation standpoint, we are aggressively pursuing foundation funding to support the Oregon Explorer already. I mean, if you want to look at the match, OSU, from its own discretionary funds, has put well over $350,000 at last count, and I think it may be closer to $500,000 to get us to where we are right now. And Meyer Memorial Trust and the Oregon Community Foundation, between them, have put another close to $500,000 into the to the Explorer already. So if you want us to show match, we can more than show match in terms of what private sources have already invested in creating the Explorer. In terms of other sources of funds, there's no question in my mind that if you looked at this as an economic development opportunity, developing this portal is really essential to making the industrial land site evaluation, the evaluation of sites for economic development across the state, much more robust and much more readily accessible to others. So lottery funds would certainly be appropriate expenditures for this $500,000. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board has already invested, it's $225,000 in specific elements of the portal aimed at watershed restoration. And the difficulty there is that they have real limitations on how much non-capital revenue they have available. And so their board has been saying, you really need to go out and make this, you need to find other partners, since there are other benefits other than watershed restoration and biodiversity. And so that's what we've been doing and partnering with the Department of Administrative Services in terms of the overall state GIS utility is one aspect of that. So that doesn't answer your entire question, but it gives you a flavor for how we've been trying to put the money together to make the whole effort work.
Dr. Bates, I think.
I want to make sure I get it. It's the total concept correct here, so let me ask. Navigate or Navigator and your program seem to me to be sort of overlapping programs in a broad sense. Yours has been a little more focused on natural resources, but in fact, if we want to look at an area of the state or development or what's going on as far as watersheds are concerned or any of these issues, we have to bring them all together in the end anyway. I don't care if you're looking at a tax lot or whatever, it's all intermeshed here. And so are we looking at trying to bring overlapping programs together through one portal, maybe doing it in a more cost-effective way? Is that kind of broadly what we're speaking to here?
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates. Senator Bates, you're asking exactly the question that the CIOs from the State Natural Resource Agencies asked when the Department of Administrative Services and the Oregon Explorer team were presenting to them on this topic. And it was at that point that we had already been working quite closely with the Department of Administrative Services, and we decided with the Department of Administrative Services staff that, yes, indeed, we needed to work together as a team and avoid duplicating efforts. And we've already done that by the decision by the Oregon Navigator team to use the Oregon Explorer for the web portal for the imagery. But the decision goes beyond that. And what this program option package does is to say, the legislature told INR to do this, and they've told the Department of Administrative Services to do this on geographic information systems, and we've decided we're absolutely complementary and we shouldn't both be doing the same thing. We should be absolutely working together. And what the Oregon Explorer will do is the web portal access for general access to the GIS utility. And that web portal access will be designed in a way that it'll be suitable for more than natural resources information, and all the computer coding and all the work that needs to be done to build the web portal could then be used so that it could be used for economic development, it could be used for health and human services, it could be used for multiple purposes for geographic information. But we're focusing on getting the pieces to work first in the natural resource arena, and that's where it's. But yes, your characterization of the situation is exactly right. And I think we're doing what the legislature directed DAS and INR to do, which is to work and develop the interagency agreements and to not duplicate efforts. So we're the web portal people, and they're doing the hard work on the GIS data sets on all the different natural, social resources, as well as the tax lot information.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Follow-up questions really to LFO. There are sources of money from ballot measure 66 that go to Parks and Recs. They have to use a certain amount of that to identify and buy a property. It's a challenge for them. This kind of information would be vital for them. That's not general fund money, obviously. There's ballot 66 money that goes for natural resources to enhance salmon and other natural resources. This information would be vital for them. Economic development receives lottery money, and I would think that if you're trying to develop things economically, this is also vital information. Can we look at those sources, see if there are legal restrictions on that money? Can we look at those sources for funding this and not use general fund money? Because I think that's where Senator Johnson wants to go. There's money in lottery money that's above and beyond what we expected. We want to use that carefully and thoughtfully. But this would seem to be a logical application for some of that money if we can do it within the bounds of those ballot measures. Can we look at that?
The answer to your question is, of course.
Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
That's exactly where I was headed, particularly the ballot measure 66. I mean, I think that we lose track of the fact that OWEB is among the 10 largest foundations in the state of Oregon. And I continue to be absolutely mystified as to the restrictions on their money. And when I watch what they're spending money for, I'm dazzled by how seemingly incongruent it is. This seems like a perfect place, and I don't know whether or not OWEB needs help to just understand that this is a good investment. There must be some barriers to accessing that OWEB money that I just don't understand, because this seems like an ideal project to fall within that belt. Within the OWEB purview.
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, the OWEB board later this month is going to, well, later in March, it's not quite March, is going to have a major demonstration of the full Oregon Explorer to show, really demonstrate what they've invested in for the $225,000 that they've invested. I think they do understand, and they're getting a better understanding all the time of the importance of this for their effort. I think that as I understand it from talking to Director Beiler, because there is a constitutional restriction on capital versus non-capital funds on the ballot measure $66, those non-capital funds are what they use to support the local watershed councils, and so those are the most competitive funds that they have. We have designed, most of the work that we've done has been in close partnership with local watershed councils, so that the Explorer is providing their data management needs. It obviously has much, much broader applications. But if the legislature wanted to also have that conversation with OWEB, from the Institute for Natural Resources standpoint, we don't care whether it's lottery money, general fund money, or Measure 66 money. Our critical thing is that without the state investment to match the private investment that we've already been receiving, the investments being made by other state agencies, we're not going to be able to continue to create this portal. And as it relates to the ongoing efforts to develop the Oregon Navigator project, we won't have the readily accessible access to integrated GIS systems that will help develop the partnerships for the Oregon Navigator if we don't get this funded. So, again, this is one of these areas where you as the General Government Subcommittee are looking at the Department of Administrative Services budget, the investment in the Navigator, the investment in the Oregon Explorer web portal as a part of that is really very complementary, and I would say foundational for all of the natural resource agencies with the Natural Resources Subcommittee. It's foundational for a tremendous amount of the emergency preparedness work that needs to go on. And I think you've already heard that from DAS. So you're sort of, as general government, working on something that rings a lot of bells on economic development, natural resource management, emergency preparedness, and other services. And obviously, you're the ones who have to grapple with those tough questions.
Senator Bates, then okay. Senator Wicked.
One last point, and I've got a quick meeting. I'll be right back. Dallas, my memory of Ballot 66, we worked with this a lot last session, was the money set aside for capital has to be used for improvement of buildings, new buildings, and purchase of land. And if I believe purchase of land is in that, I may be wrong. That's my memory.
Members of the committee, not a natural resource guy, so my knowledge about it.
Let me offer this. You can't purchase the land if you don't know where the land is, what's available, and what the restrictions of that land are, and what surrounds that land. My sense is that if you look at Ballot 66 money, we should look at it from the point of view of the capital expenditures that are available to help support this program.
You wanted to comment on it,
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates. I actually did write a lot of the ballot measure 66 language in a prior life, I took a real hard look at trying to argue that investment in computer systems of this kind were capital expenses, and my understanding from talking to a number of accountants is that government accountants and private accountants is we can't make that argument. I tried very hard, and I don't think we can call it capital expenses as much as I'd like to, and if your staff can revisit that, I'd love to have a different answer. I don't think we're going to get there.
I'd like to have that revisited, because I don't think you can make those kinds of... if you go out to buy real estate, you're going to pay a real estate fee to somebody, and that's considered part of what you purchased it for.
We'll leave it
there for now. I'll be right back.
I think it's safe to say that people in the budget office don't always agree with those that interpret accounting rules. And I'm a CPA, and I don't agree with some of the accounting interpretations out there. So,
Representative Whitson.
Thank you,
Senator, with the statement.
Just a couple of comments. We're listening to the Codes Division in DCBS requesting some over the next 10 years, some $45 million to create an e-permitting process. And part of that, a significant part of that, is actually, I understand, a GIS system to be able to identify where the permits are going to go, so that you can get a permit from anywhere, from any telephone or from any computer in the state, because you can access that area. This would seem to be a duplication, and you could certainly use it instead of doing two, we could have one. We also, and you, perhaps Senator Johns can refresh my memory on the cost of it, but there's also a proposal before this legislature to map the offshore and nearshore coastal areas, and that is a significant request, as I recall, also. And that is also something that I believe could be incorporated into, largely incorporated into this GIS system. So I think that this idea of standing back and studying this instead of throwing money in huge multi-million dollar quantities at these various different things, perhaps we should build one system that works for everyone.
Thank you, Representative. Senator.
Chair Jensen, one comment in response to Senator Whitsitt's. We are actually working very closely with the Nearshore and Offshore Mapping Group to have the web portal for the Oregon Explorer be the web access point for that entire effort, so we're planning very closely with them to make that one integrated effort. I was not aware of the DCBS proposal, but it's a key example of the electronic permitting where you need to have that geographic information in order to do it, and it needs to be web accessible. And there are other states like Arizona, Pennsylvania, Illinois, where they have electronic permitting for virtually all environmental and natural resource permits online across all agencies through single portals. And that's what we're really trying to create, is design this so that it can do the e-permitting using the data and the geographic information from multiple sources in one place. And that's our theme song, is let's do this all once. Let's not do it over and over again with everyone reinventing it.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Bates took us a little ways towards where I was headed, but to move us past this point in the discussion today, we're not going to go to work session until
we're not
going to
vote on it.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's for a little while. And what I'm trying to figure out is there enough breathing room to try to see if we can craft some kind of a solution, whether or not money could be cobbled together from a variety of different sources, OECDD, the OSU Foundation, see how elastic the definitions are at OWEB, maybe a private sector challenge, maybe some general fund, but to see if there's a methodology to cobble together something that doesn't take as big a general fund bite out of this committee as the co-chairs have indicated they would prefer. And what I'm really looking for is some indication from the chair as to how much time we have to do any exploration to see if we can try to find the kind of elegant solution that Mr. Ball put together for the prescription drug.
We've got 24 hours.
It's all the time in the world.
I've been referring to all of the senators as representatives, and part of that was kind of a Freudian slip, having heard nothing from my representative members of the committee this morning. Interested in any observations or questions or enlightenment that they may need or want on this, or are you all happy?
I think senators have led a good discussion. I've asked all the questions I was wondering about. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would just
Representative Pelosi.
Yeah,
you got any money over in the ad budget that we can get?
Is this microphone on?
Working the other way.
No, it's, I mean, it's very impressive, this Ackerman, what she's talking about. So, I you know, it's one of these situations where if we can figure out some kind of alternative sort of financing, I mean, that just seems the way to go. And 24 hours, though, that's all we get?
We certainly must have in the OSU budget, you know.
You're trying to get me killed.
I'm thinking of, you know, a whole variety of places in the OSU budget. This would be really a very...
This is why I haven't said anything so far. I'm going to take the fifth.
Okay. Senator Johnson.
This maybe is not a fair question to Ms. Ackerman, but are you, how familiar are you with the details of the Oregon Inc. proposal? Is there
Representative Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, I'm very familiar with the Oregon Innovation Council proposal. I would have to say that while, again, the tools that are being developed with the GIS utility and the web portal as the access to that geographic-related information, this will be very complementary to a number of those efforts, but I can't see carving this out of any of the pieces that I'm familiar
that's,
with.
That's right.
With I'm quite familiar with the, well, all the signature research centers and all of the emerging industry proposals of the Oregon Innovation Council proposal, and it doesn't fit. It complements, but it doesn't fit.
I think unless anyone has any other questions on this right now, I think we'll move on. Before we move on, I would appreciate all of the searching that has gone on in committee this morning as to where there might be some money you know, available for this. I do appreciate Ms. Ackerman's comments in relationship to OWEB. I didn't sit on that. I think it was House Bill 2335, if I remember the numbering correctly, a number of years ago when ballot measure 66 was put into statute, and the sideboards around all of this, you know, were crafted. I do remember that the whole issue of what is capital, you know, was improvements was a major issue at the time. Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know which, my personal recommendations to the, you know, for that issue were not accepted, and actually, my recommendations were that that this be treated in the same way that other, you know, I think accounting procedures would allow for under the definition, and the wording came out a little differently than that, and I don't have the recall of the law that I'm sure that Gail has, but I think it is a sticky question at this point. That doesn't mean I don't think it's something that maybe can be overcome. I think it's certainly a logical, to me, it's a logical place for, you know, this utilization. And I'd like to have some discussion with Dr. Beiler between now and tomorrow morning, and this gets difficult for me, so I'm looking for some volunteers to do that. It's difficult for me because my entire middle of the day is taken up sitting in a dental office.
How about you and I run the same thing?
I was going to volunteer him, but as much as he's volunteered,
I would be very pleased to have you looking into that. And if you could keep me informed later in the day, you know, on what you're finding out on it. And
we will do that.
Yes, Senator Whitson.
Thank you. With your indulgence, I know you want to move on, but I have had those conversations with Mr. Byler at some length at OWEB regarding the restoration quality assessment, quality control, the lack of monitoring, all that sort of thing that goes on and has gone on in OWEB, and they are current for the last 7.5 years. Now they're with some new personnel, they are attempting to actually establish some monitoring, and this type of information is critical, that ability to monitor, because you have to know where you are in order to monitor. You have to know the elevations, you have to know the watershed. All those things are critical. That is information. So, I mean, to me, going after some grant, OWEB grants for this would be a very logical and worthwhile way to go.
Thank you, Senator. I would certainly concur with that, and that I would like to do that. But until I refresh my memory a little more on the legal aspects of it, and I'm sure Gail is much more adept at doing that than I am, and I would ask her to refresh her memory on that too, if she would, for me. But you know, that even whatever our memories bring us, that shouldn't prevent us from going ahead and pursuing this, because I think it's a pretty logical place for the expenditure of some of those dollars.
Absolutely.
And we're going to move on, but before we do, Chair has some comments to make, and one of those the comments are that we're in a little different arena in the building this time than we have been in since I've been in Salem, and that this now is the sixth session that I've been here. We've always had something of a division in the body between the legislature and the governor's office, whether that be two chambers different than the governor's office, or one chamber different than the governor's office and the other chamber. This time we do not have that, and it appears to the chair, who is admittedly very honored and humbled by the choice of the speaker and the co-chairs to allow a minority member to chair this this committee. It puts him sometimes in what he feels like is a fairly awkward position. But one of the things I am committed to, and that is the separation of powers in this building, and the assumption that because it is in the governor's budget, that it is in the good stead of the chair, is a false assumption. And anyone who is bringing something before this committee, as long as I remain the chair, needs to be aware of that, so that we don't run off and feel that this is just all on a smooth path down the road. And I recognize some, I hope you recognize some awkwardness on my part in saying this. I hope that somehow the message gets to the other folks who will be coming along later that we don't encounter these sort of things in the future. Okay, enough said. Let's move on.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, moving on, we have now completed my February 20th memo with the staff recommendations. I should like to move on to a couple of technical adjustments, and then the it's in the 0507 supplemental request. We have two. May I, Mr. Chair, may I ask for about a 1 minute recess to consult with the department?
Well, of course.
Thank you.
We're in recess for a minute.
We'll call Bob.
Representatives.
thank you for that recess, Mr. Chair. You have my February 23rd memo, I hope you still have it, where we had overlooked, these are technical adjustments now. And by technical, I mean we just need to clean up some things in the bill or in the budget to reflect things that have changed or some additional information that came to light. The first is, we need a technical adjustment in the department's budget for an additional $209,647 in lottery expenditure limitation for Section 4 of the Senate Bill 5502. This is the lottery allocation to county fairs. The bill was drafted and the recommendation came about before the latest lottery forecast. So the latest lottery forecast was higher, necessitating an increased amount of lottery fund limitation. So that's the technical adjustment number one. I will share with you that this also has happened in prior sessions when the budgets come forward prior to that last revenue forecast. So that's the first technical adjustment. I have two more adjustments, one of which is noted in your memo, and the other one is identical but in a different section of the bill. And this is for, one of them is for $1 of lottery fund expenditure limitation for Section 3, which is debt service on the lottery bonds for Oregon Public Broadcasting. This was brought to LFO's attention. I contacted the department because of the lottery adjustment for the distribution to the fairs. I contacted the capital investment side, the Jack Kenny folks, and said, is the amount of debt service in the bill sufficient? Is that the right amount? I was told that the actual debt service would be 7 cents more than is provided in the bill. This provides a problem because this can lead to an audit exception. This issue came up before the emergency board in September of last year, where we had to provide a little more limitation for debt service because of this rounding. The issue is it could be an exception in audit report. In the emergency board minutes, we asked or directed, the legislature did, that the Department of Administrative Services and the Secretary of State Audit Division try to work out a deal where they could deal with these immaterial amounts without causing audit exceptions. We followed up, and that discussion has not happened. We were informed by Audit Division that, lacking any other evidence of wrongdoing, if you will, or some other issues, this difference of 7 cents would not rise to the level of a reportable condition. That means they wouldn't put it in the body of the report on internal controls. That does not mean it would be precluded from being included as a finding in another issue, you know, non-reportable or in the management letter. Having that feedback from Audit Division, I have decided I would recommend the additional dollar of limitation. We could amend the budget bill for pennies, but the budget system won't accommodate pennies. So we were recommending an additional dollar of limitation to Section 3 so that the amount of debt service will fall under or within the amount provided in the law. I just asked DAS to follow up with the other debt services that are included in the body of the bill. If you will look at section 2 sub 5, it's the principal and interest for the pension obligation bonds. They've since checked and found that the amount provided there we will need another dollar of limitation. It's currently at $257,139. They will actually need a few cents more of expenditure limitation, so we were recommending an additional dollar there for the same reason. So those are my technical adjustment recommendations, Mr. Chair. And we are in, I'd like to put on the record for purposes of the budgets going forward, that whenever the Department of Administrative Services sees this, to please round upwards on debt service to avoid this issue. So, having had that little speech, I'd like to move on, Mr. Chair. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Fire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you just remind me, or I probably missed this, on the county fairs, what is our requirement?
There was, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, about two biennial ago, two or three sessions ago, there was an amount not to exceed, I believe, some portion of lottery, and I can't quote it to you, but we provided an amount to them that session, and the law says to be increased for inflation and other things. So this may have been actually not so much an adjustment to the lottery revenue forecast, but that and the CPI in Portland. So it's growing at a rate of inflation. I believe I was mistaken when I said it is a portion of the lottery, but not to exceed the base amount plus an inflation factor. So now that I think about it, this adjustment is actually probably for the inflation also.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dallas, let me get this straight. The 7 cents bothers me.
Yes, sir.
As I recall my experiences with the Internal Revenue Service of this country, it wouldn't show up as any kind of a ding on an audit if you were 7 cents off. I am, therefore, questioning why, at the level that we're dealing with here, this should be the case. And I was sharing with the staff personal experience, not having to do with any of that, but with an insurance company where I just recently got a check for 13 cents.
You spend all at once?
you could add. There was no qualification. I could have even spent it in more than one place if I had chosen, I guess, to do so. And in the case of the insurance company, they wrote me two letters explaining they'd overcharged, which was a total of 78 cents worth of postage, plus two letters, whatever that cost. About $15
a piece.
And then another letter mailing me the check along with another explanation for, you know. And the same thing is happening, I guess, here. Is it's, you know, this 7 cents is costing us a lot more money in terms of government time than it's worth. And what agency is responsible? And do they come before this committee?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I couldn't agree with you more. I believe the Department of Transportation brought this issue forward to the Emergency Board. The Department of Administrative Services brought it forward to us. both have far more experience dealing with the auditors and what would cause them to be written up than we do. The auditors would technically be correct that spending 7 cents more than is in the law is a violation of that law. Without looking at the legislative intent that X number of dollars is X number of dollars. The intent was clear to pay the debt, and the legislature approved that. So, again, I checked with the audits division of the Secretary of State. They're responsible for the audits, and these agencies have far more experience dealing with these auditors than we do, at least with respect to their interpretation of law and writing up a finding. So,
okay.
I was not happy with happened to do this either, sir, but to avoid an audit exception and the problems that those bring create, I'm recommending the dollar in these two cases.
Mr. Chair?
Chair will certainly recognize your recommendation on this, but still irritates you. Senator Whitson.
Mr. Chair Jensen, I believe that we're going to be looking at the Secretary of State's budget here again before too long. That might be a good time to have a visit about the financial implications of Mr. Ball, Mr. Wyland. I don't know who else's time is involved. I mean, our time is fungible, but these people get paid pretty good money. And I agree with you. It's beyond ludicrous, and I think it should be fixed. And that might be a good time to address that issue.
Well, I think you're certainly correct. If you, even though our time is pretty fungible, if you put all of us together, it starts to run into money too. So, yeah.
It was an attempt to be facetious.
Mr. Chair, to quote someone at the risk of beating this horse to death, but I can understand your frustration, but it does seem like now is the time that we should be dealing with this rather than later. And I'd be happy to pass the hat for the buck if you want.
It's not a matter of it's not a matter of them having the money. They have the 7 cents. I offered to pony it up myself. We actually talked about that, whether they could spend the 7 cents from another account. That was the issue.
Okay. Having that and looking like the senator is wanting to be on her way, but we've got a few minutes left. Unless
one quick thing.
Good.
You have before you the co-chairs have approved inclusion of a supplemental request from that was received by the department. You have it in front of you. And it's explained that they had received some federal monies from before and hadn't spent it as quickly, so they used it in this current biennium, giving them some little bit of cash they don't have federal fund expenditure authority for. They would like to finish spending that grant money this biennium. The co-chairs have said it's okay to put it in their bill. So our recommendation would be then we would include that as in the budget bill. It would show up separately in the budget report. It would be a separate section of the bill, but it would be additional federal funds expenditure limitation for this current biennium. The rest of the bill, of course, applies to the 07-09 biennium. And with that, Mr. Chair, I have gone through all of my recommendations, as have you, thoroughly, I believe.
Mr. Chair, just to leave on an optimistic note, your little subcommittee of the subcommittee did some pretty good work out in the hall, and I think we will have something to report back to you as soon as we're able to have a little meeting this afternoon.
Very good. Thank you.
We do fast work in the Senate.
I spent a lot of time in natural resources last year as chair, and we have a very good LFO officer there. We met in the hall, they walked out the door to offer a possible solution.
We are very pleased with that, and since to get started on the motions right now is going to probably not be terribly productive because we're looking at just a few minutes. We will wrap this up for today, and we started a couple minutes late, and so we'll quit a few minutes early and make up for that. And thank you, Senator. It was nice to see you here, and I'm glad you had a good car to plow through the snow with.